I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Shawn is watching this. And guys, I'm fine.
They've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am joined today by Coach Craig Everson, the head coach out of the Gregory School. He's been coaching here for the last 7 years. His squad ended this season with a record of 28-3, including a huge state championship game win over the defending 1A state champions, North Valley Christian Academy. Coach, it's your third championship. Is it just becoming another day in the office at this point?
No, it's not. This was a very challenging one for us. So yeah, this one took a lot of work, and there was a lot of challenge to it with the good teams that were out there as well.
And we'll get into that too, because I think your road to the championship was one that was very unique, as far as how many times you ended up facing the final four teams. I guess three, you know, you being the final four. But thank you so much for hopping on the podcast, man. I know you're a busy guy. I was really excited to get you on here. Oh, absolutely. I was so excited to have you on here because there's just great energy around you and around your program. You know, I'll take you back to the first week of the season. We were talking about you guys. You guys played on, like, the very first week when, like, a lot of other people didn't play. And we had, like, these huge expectations for you guys. And we talked about you had games November 16th, the 17th, and the 18th. And on that podcast, we made a comment. And I just said it, like, flippantly. I was like, man, somebody needs to talk to their AD, scheduling three games all in a row. And you guys went undefeated, just tore it up in that first week. And then a bunch of your kids, like, tagged me and Reyes and were, like, best AD in the country and, like, with pictures. It just seems like a really fun group to be a part of, man.
It is a fun group. These boys are – they're special, and the school's special. The kids we get in the program, there's something to it. The first story I'll tell you is when I first came in my very first year, the kids came together, the returning players, and they started to say family on three. And I said, whoa, hold on. So I want to set a little sound bite. I want Hawks on three for everything we do. Hawks on three. And so if you see my email, it's Hawks on three. I hashtag Hawks on three. It's just something that I wanted to set as kind of as something that, you know, we always rally around. And I had one player ask me, he said, Coach, is it all right if we say Hawks on three, family on six, because we're pretty tight here. And I said, yeah, sounds good. And it's been that way ever since. And it's not just a saying, it's really true. Our locker room every year, whether we have, you know, enough talent to do it or not, is always a family atmosphere, and these kids play for each other, and they have every one of my 7 years.
I noticed that in one of the videos that your school posted, and I actually thought about that's unique. I've never heard someone do, you know, Hawks on three, family on six, and I forget the order that they did it in, but I thought it was really cool. And, you know, you even mentioned something that I think is something that you shine at, that I've been kind of observing from the outside looking in, is culture. You know, I feel like you guys do so many things. I've loved the board that you had and, like, every single win, and you had, like, your goals. So talk about your culture and, like, you know, maybe putting a sticker on the board wrong and creasing it, you know, because that's hilarious.
Well, that just gives the kids an opportunity to rib another kid, so that they all love each other and they know they can do without, you know, without being without it feeling negative at all. It's all in good fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
the sticker idea is from the same kid who gave me the family on six. So he was a junior when I got there. He played for 2 years for us. He was part of our first two state championships. Then he became an assistant coach with us for 4 years. And then he just went away to work in Washington, D.C. this year. And he, as he was leaving, he said, "I've got a present for you, coach. I want you guys to, you know, have this board with these stickers on it." And he kind of charted out which were the games we could use it on. And I didn't know what the kids were going to think. And so I brought it out, and they really rallied around it.
From everything I saw, it looked like they loved it. And, you know, and I'm just speaking of myself personally, like culture, I feel like it's kind of hard sometimes to implement things sometimes, because I think like, well, are kids going to think it's cheesy? Are they going to think it's kind of corny? But it seems like you've done a great job at implementing it. But it all kind of goes back to that family aspect, because it's not just you. It seems like it's the whole group kind of coming around that.
Yeah, it is. And it's the kids' team, and I try to make sure they know that. So I'm only the guy that yells some crazy stuff here and there. You know, they're the ones that have to come together and play it, you know, play together and take charge of each other, you know, to make sure that they're all playing in the right way.
Mm. So thinking back to last year, because you guys were such an interesting squad to follow last year, even into this year. But so like last year, you guys ended the season. You had like a really odd season because of injuries and different like just struggles that you guys went through, you know, whatever. And you ended the season really well, going 6-3. Your only losses were to like St. David, Desert Christian. I think you guys lost to El Cap in the playoffs there. So I felt like, me and Ray were talking about this, there was a lot of momentum for you guys going into this season. So my question is, like, at what point did you feel that this was going to be a really special season for you guys?
Yeah, going back to last year, you know, if you remember, Vince Edwards was with us, and he was, you know, kind of all conference. You know, his junior year, he led the state in scoring at like 27 a game, and he was really coming into himself, and he was our best player, and we're trying to find enough to have around him. And last year, I think we might have had enough around him, but he got 3 concussions in the fall, and he missed. He didn't start playing again until January. In the meantime, you know, we start out 1-8 because he was our best player and we had no idea how to play without him. We start to figure it out at the Pima tournament, playing against 3 and 4A teams, and we beat a decent 3A Payson team without him, where Nitai Booker stepped up and scored like 22 with 15 rebounds and tough. Appeared to have taken, you know, Vince's role, and we were kind of ready to roll. So we start playing really well. Then Vince comes back, and it was almost like trying to figure out how to play with him again. And he wasn't 100% either. And so we took another few weeks to figure out how to play with him. Then we got really good, and we finished out the season strong. And except for, you know, the last 3 games, we had probably half of our squad out with illness. So when we played El Cap, we only had 5 guys. When we played in the Super Regional Tournament, we had like 5 guys out. So, I mean, we really kind of limped along. But what it taught us was, had Vince had a full season, we probably would have been spending all spring, summer, and fall trying to figure out how to play without him. Right. But instead, we had played without him so much that the day they graduated, we were better. We were immediately better. So the first day of spring games, we really felt we were one of the top 4 teams. Now, I never said or thought we were better than North Valley. I never said or thought we were better than Desert. Never thought or said we were better than Babbo. In fact, I told my kids we weren't as good as those 3 teams, because we hadn't beat them yet. And they were all starting out, but they all returned more than we did. Sure. And they were, those 3 teams, North Valley was a favorite, and the other 2 teams were better than us. No 2 words about it, but I knew we were the next best team. And I knew that in spring. And so then it just became, you know, what did we have to do between spring, summer, fall, and season to become, you know, to beat those guys every day, to beat them one day at a time, to get better than them one day at a time. And that's really our thing, if when you talk about culture, for us, our goals are simple. We want to get better every day. And if the kids enjoy playing together, we want to play as long as we can. And we want the season to last as long as we can. And if we happen to make the last game, well, then we dang well might as well win it if we're playing it, right? Right. So that's how we kind of take our goals. Just try to remind each other it starts with just getting better every day.
And I think that's the struggle for – I think what you just summed up is the struggle that so many coaches have. And it's getting our squads to be confident going into games, but also understanding that there's a certain number of things that if you don't do, they drastically decrease your chances of competing and winning. And so you want your teams to feel like they're confident, but you don't want them to be too confident. You know what I mean? And it sounds like you just hit the nail on the head perfect with that. And, you know, I love what you said. You know, they're better than us. I mean, Coach, you can't say that now because it was something that's very unique about your team and your road to the championship is you guys beat Desert, North Valley, and Babbo two times each. You know, to get to the championship. So I think that's just a – I can't remember the last time that a champion beat the Final Four two times in order to get there. I mean, that is – that's called earning your championship, man. That's crazy.
We had to earn that one, yeah, no doubt.
So tell me about some of the personalities on your team because it seems like you guys got some great kids all around your program.
Yeah, it starts with our seniors. Those guys, I've had four of them since fifth grade.
Wow.
David L, Carter Reynolds, Nick Allen, and Bodie Marks. And they set the tone by every workout I've ever had since fifth grade they've been at. And I have a lot of them. And so their work ethic is just beyond, you know, anyone else's. And so they kind of demonstrated a really great work ethic for the group.
So important.
Yeah. And then, you know, we added four other seniors over the course of the last 7 years. Many of them played through middle school as well. Those guys were great teammates, great role, played their roles. And just, you know, they're just really all very tight. And then you've got a junior in Justice Turner who came in from Houston and his grandparents, you know, lived in Tucson. So we had seen him for quite a few years. And so we knew of him and he knew the kids. So when he moved back, it was a great fit, but he just brings such a toughness to the team, which, you know, toughness is a real thing that's needed.
Right.
And so he brings that. We've got a sophomore group who's got, you know, a coach on the floor in Jackson Dickinson, two great guards in Devin Dawson and Ben Head, who are just basketball guys since the beginning, you know, since they came out of the womb type of thing and have been really good at, you know, and didn't have to be as built. They were just great ball players. And then, you know, Nitai Buckler, who he and I were talking tonight at his season end review. And he basically just started 2 years ago and he was a 6'1" gangly kid who came in the gym and next thing you know, he's 6'6" and the kid can really play. So he's just got a great, you know, kind of smile to him and everything's cool, but until he plays and then he'll play hard and, you know, all that. And then of course, you know, we get Roz and Smith to come in, you know, and his older brother was on our team in 2019. So, but he's a mature kid. He's a kid who, in some cases kind of came in and you didn't know what to expect because he was so young. And then all of a sudden, you know, by 3 weeks into the season, he's the one telling up, you know, yelling out all the defensive plays and, you know, yelling out instructions and he's just kind of taken over as a vocal guy.
So gotta love that man. Yeah. It's special and unique.
Yeah.
And I think about even your guards that you mentioned, you know, Justice Turner and Dickinson. The thing I loved about Justice Turner is he just was a very calming presence, I felt like. You know, he didn't have to, you know, Dickinson's was a lot more aggressive. And I'm actually thinking back to that championship game with North Valley Christian. But, like, Dickinson's a lot more aggressive getting into the rim, getting into the lane. And Turner, not that he can't do that, but he was just very poised and just kind of got you guys into your stuff really well. I loved that about them.
Those two are so close. And I think they actually may have morphed bodies in that way from earlier in the season, because it was exactly the opposite.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think they must have, you know, mind melded, and somehow they switched personalities in that game, because Justice is kind of the more aggressive one. I had to ask Jackson, you know, kind of mid December if he planned to ever take a shot.
You know,
and he's a great shooting guard, but he was only playing about 13 minutes a game because he didn't try to do too much. It was kind of one of those analogies. If the tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. I'm like, right. Jackson, you're a shooting guard, but if you never take a shot, how do we even know?
Right.
So then I think he got the message because he wanted to play more than 13 minutes a game.
Sure. And think about then his massive shot in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's just, you think about all of those little things that happen throughout a season, that if you don't have that conversation with him and he doesn't kind of change, is he there to make that shot? Does somebody else make that shot? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of crazy to sit here and think about, you know? So
yeah.
Oh, that's really
fun. Justice kind of at times, you know, would want to go a million miles an hour earlier in the season, and the last two or three possessions, he was the one who took over and said, you know, we're gonna be calm, because our last possession was a minute eight.
Yeah, gosh, that's what you want as a, you know what I mean? That's what you want as a coach, man.
But it was a tie game with 3 minutes to go, with two minutes and 8 seconds to go, and we took a minute eight off the clock, and so as a coach, I'm like, do I call a timeout? I had a minute eight to watch this. Do I call a timeout? Do I tell him to run for the last shot now, because we're down to a minute to go? You know, I just kind of watched them, and I saw how in control all five of those kids were on the court. They all penetrated a little bit, then they backed up. They didn't try to force anything. They took and they were in control like we had asked them to be. You know, all, you know, and we probably never had as good a possession as we did as that one.
I've heard this, and maybe you're describing this right now. I've never been on a championship team, but what I've heard is it's almost like at the perfect time, what you've been preaching and asking your kids to do just kind of clicks, and they just kind of do it. And it's like nothing that you're telling them to do, like kind of what you're saying, you know, like, I'm just going to watch it happen because this is what needs to happen, and they don't need me to tell them to do it, because they're doing it already.
And that was exactly it. And that's why I didn't call a timeout, because I watched them, and I watched the first 20 seconds, and I was like, oh, this is taking a while. Should I call a timeout? And the more I saw them, the more I felt I trusted them to be in control.
Yeah. That's special, man. So special. And, you know, we're talking a lot about the championship game, which is warranted. I mean, it's awesome. We can talk about it for years. I think if I won a championship, I want to talk about that forever, you know. But other than the championship game, what is a game this season that you guys had that you felt was so vital to your season? You know, whether you won or lost, but a game that you can think back to where you're like, dude, that game – that like helped us win this championship, you know?
You know, I would say it was the first win over Babbo.
Gosh,
had
a one-point
nice
game, right? At home, 64-65. Gosh, man.
It was a great game, by the way. It was up and down. It was fast. I mean, we played their style, and they played our style, and it went up and down. It was a great game. I think what was most important about it was that we proved that we could beat, you know, one of the top teams. And it was the first one, our first you know, four or five of our first seven games were good competition. I mean, Tankaverde is a 3A. They're a good team. Mm-hmm. You know, we had some other good games, but that one was kind of, it said, oh, okay, we're a real contender here, and we can beat the teams that we think are up there. Mm-hmm. Now what's strange about that is we had 2 weeks off after that for finals, and we went into our tournament play and we stunk up the gym for five games in a row. And that was our 3-game losing streak. And we actually had to change our whole rotation around, cause we played 10 kids all year or more. And, so we had to change our rotation a bit to kind of figure out the spark and the right combinations. So probably then the game in Phoenix after that, where we, the next couple of games where we beat a 3A, 4A, 3A, and we showed that, you know, we were back and kind of getting better again, as opposed to,
right.
Because we just had a lull right around finals time.
You know, I actually was going to highlight a game, I think, in that stretch where I think it was December 23rd when you played against Palo Verde. And you guys lost 49-47. But that game, to me, said so much about y'all's squad. I thought it was a great game for you because Palo Verde's tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's some friendly fire there in Tucson. But I was just thinking, man, if they can almost beat Palo Verde like that, that says a lot about where they're going to get to. And I'm always like this. I'm all about the moral victory. Sometimes a loss helps you in some ways more than a win.
Yeah. It's we were down big to open that game. We were down probably 16, and we came back and tied it. And then it's the only close game we lost at the end this year. So we tied it, and we missed a box out, and they got a put back at the buzzer to win it. And so you're right, you do learn things like that. And I think our kids were determined not to lose another close game.
Oh man, there's so many things that we're talking about right now where I'm thinking about like how it impacted the rest. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, gosh, that's special, dude. That's so special. So I want to talk to you about your style of play that you allow your kids to play with, because it's different. Like it's free flowing, but it's very organized. And, you know, I've been watching you guys for not even just as a coverage for the podcast, but, you know, I've done like scout stuff where it was years ago, but you guys were playing against a Rancho and no, it was somebody, you guys were playing against somebody, I don't remember who, but I was watching the other team and I was scouting them from my own team. And I'm like, man, the Gregory squad, I just keep watching you guys. Like you guys were just tough, you know, it was just fun to watch. So what about your style of play gives you guys an advantage over other teams? I was reading an article that was published in 2020, but it said this, and I thought it was interesting. It said the Gregory School teams have championed an aggressive Midwestern-style defense and a fast-paced and fun West Coast offense. So just kind of talk about that for a second, because I've loved watching how you guys approach the game.
Yeah. So I'm a Wisconsin grad, and so I'd grown up watching the Big Ten, and I was kind of a Dick Bennett follower, and their defense was, you know, he especially won defensively. One of my best friends who runs the basketball academy with me was the defensive player of the year for Dick Bennett 2 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of what I've learned is his defense, pack line defense. And I just feel like if we can ask our kids to play that defense, it gives us a chance. Mm. You know, but offensively, I want these kids to be able to play. I want them to play ball. I want them to go. And what I found is if you're watching our teams the first 2 years, we just had natural guys who could go and run and play.
Right.
And they had played together a lot in club ball, and I kind of came in and said, I see what you guys have, just go play. And I'll take care of defense, and you guys have to do this for me. And then you can just go. And the first year we just ran 5-out dribble penetration. The second year we didn't have the same personnel, so we went a little bit more to a ball screen offense. But we still were spread out, and our kids still ran a great transition. You know, the transition offense is really what gets you the extra points.
Right.
If you can rebound. And so what I didn't realize was that with a little less talent, or what I'll say maybe more built talent, where these were kids that I had trained since fifth grade and they weren't natural basketball players before then,
right,
was, yeah, they got my defense pretty easily, but the naturalness of offense was a little bit more difficult. So what really triggered this whole thing is our assistant coach, Mike Lopez, who's a former, who was the head coach at Pima Community College for 10 years. Okay. And he's about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, he said, "Hey, can I try something?" And he started running a bunch of old school full court drills. And we just weren't natural at getting up and down the court.
Okay.
And so what we found is if your players aren't as natural ball players, it perhaps takes more to teach them the full court game than it does a half court game offensively. And so I don't think there's been a day in the last 2.5 years where we haven't run 20 to 30 minutes worth of full court offensive transition drills. And from old school three-man weave to, you know, pass to the side, bring it to the middle, throw the long pass over the top, to three-on-two, two-on-one, to, you know, pattern fast breaks. So we really, really pressed, and under Mike's guidance, we really pressed the full court game. And we had some flashes, but never until this year. And so this year, I think we took up our transition points from maybe 6 a game to more like 20 on average.
I was going to say, you guys, I've talked about you guys so much this year and talked about your transition as being a strength, which is so cool to hear how you guys have worked on that, you know?
Yeah. And now, again, our underclassmen, we have some natural ball players who pick it up really well. But as a group, collectively, they're in sync because they do these drills all the time. They're in sync together. Mm-hmm. They know when to make the long pass. And what I will say is we turned it over more than those first two teams did this year. We did. We turned it over probably 4 or 5 times more a game than a lot of those teams did. But a lot of it was because we allowed them to just be ultra aggressive and to try for the home run and go for it. So, yeah.
We always talk about the risk reward as coaches, right? And I think that the reward pays off like crazy. You know, turn the ball over a little bit more, that's okay. You know, you get 20 more points. That's crazy, you know. And I'll never forget my college coach talking about this. We took a coaching basketball class, and he talked about if your team is really bad in the half court, you should think about what percentage of your practice is in the half court. If your team is really bad in the full court, what percentage of your practice is in the full court? And you need to adjust those things. And it's so cool to see it pay off for you guys, because I thought that was one of your best attributes going into the tournament, and I think it really showed through, which is, it's really special. You guys do a lot of ball screens in your offense, and I feel like the guards do a good job with that. I feel like your bigs, you got great bigs to roll off of that. I'm sure you guys do a lot of breakdown stuff to try to help your players be comfortable with that in practice as well.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we Yeah. Yeah. And the other fun story, I guess, is, you know, last year we also watched, you know, North Valley blow up us as well as everyone with their blitzing the ball screens. And so we talked about it a lot. And I said, I'm not going away from running ball screens. But what we did since June was, you know, work on sending our post to the mid, dribble, you know, kind of slide dribbling out of the double team, hitting the mid, going from there. So we really hurt them quite a few times when they tried to double team our ball screens. And so it was just a good adjustment that we were able to make.
I love how what is a common theme of everything that you're saying is like details, kind of, you know, like transition was an issue, so you guys work on that, and then boom, you see the results in the championship. Like, you know, you even mentioned the little thing with the ball screens, right? Like, you work on those details, and then it pays off huge in the championship game. I mean, if you don't do that, you probably don't win, because it's like a one possession game, right? So I think that stuff is so special and so awesome. So take me to that championship game. You know, every coach has ways of getting their kids' minds right, whether it's humor, whether it's focus. How did you help your team get in the right mindset? Did you get them to, like, meditate or something? I don't know. What's your secret, man? What did you do?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I did wrong was I feel like I almost personally blew the semifinal Bobo game, because I was so amped up and kind of unnaturally so and so nervous, really, of all the games we've been in. I felt like it was the most nervous I'd ever been. And it was just something where I just didn't feel good about the game. Now, the one thing we did with Bobo is I knew they would take away a lot of our stuff. So my goal was to hold Bobo under 40 points, because I thought that was the main way we would beat him. And we almost did, if we didn't kind of give the ball away at the end, but 42 points was pretty close. So I almost gave it away, I think, because my team was a little more emotional, wasn't quite as settled. And so I felt like that Bobo game, I was, as a leader, I kind of gave them a little bit of the wrong path, but they hung on and went through it. So we were much more calm the next night, and we felt a lot better. And I think there was something about it where we just felt like if we were close, the determination, you know, we talked a lot about it before the game, was with the determination from our kids at the end, especially, because we had been in a number of close games, you know, the Bobo by one, North Valley by two, you know, a couple other ones. So we felt good if we were close, and we were pretty confident. So it was really just more about being a little more calm and, you know, letting them know that they had made it to the last day, they had made their goals.
Right.
Now, you know, the goal was for the team to play together for the whole season, and we made it to the last day, and we knew we weren't going to be missing out on anything. Even had we lost, we would have made it as far as we could. So we just had a real calmness about ourselves that night.
That's good, man. And I think about, even sometimes as coaches, we use players to try to, you know, maybe calm the nerves a little bit. Like, I feel like every team, it's good to have a player who's a little bit arrogant, you know, who's maybe overly confident, because it can kind of make other kids kind of feel calm. Like, we have a kid on our team who is overly confident, you know, almost unrealistically. Yeah. And, you know, like, before our playoff game, you know, our kids were a little bit nervous, and our coach looks at that kid and says, "Hey, how much are we winning by?" And he's like, "At least 20. And everybody kind of laughed, you know, and it kind of, like, calmed everything down. You know, who is that for you? Did you guys have somebody like that?
I think it would be probably Justice Turner and Roz. I mean, crazy thing is, Roz came in, you know, on first day of practice, and I don't talk about this stuff, but Roz says, "Coach, we're winning state this year." And I'm like, "You're a crazy 14-year-old kid. You know, we don't even talk like that around here. You know, I've never mentioned a state championship once in my 7 years here. I talk about getting better every day. Partially, I'm, you know, superstitious, and I'm a poor loser, so I don't like to have expectations that we can't make. But Roz just comes in and says, "Coach, we're winning the state championship." I'm like, "Roz, let's worry about, you know, winning game one." He's like, "I'm just letting you know, Coach, we're winning it."
That's great. So you said you're superstitious.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm telling you, I'm probably more superstitious than you. I've got lucky socks. I've got, you know, I've got lucky boxers. I got lucky everything, dude. So you got to have something lucky that you bring with you to the games or something like that. What do you got?
It's mostly clothes, you know. So I know which shirts won or lost. I know which I know which pants have won or lost, shoes. I know which ones have done well in Prescott. And
even so, specific to locations. I love it, dude. Yeah, it's great. My wife will get on me because I can't remember what day the trash goes out. But she'll be like, but you wear those socks because you know that they won at this specific place. Like, give me a break, you know? And I'm like, you just don't get it, baby. Like, you don't get it. Yeah. It's the magic behind it, you know? So it's awesome, man. And congratulations on your third championship. What is your biggest point of emphasis? You know, as a coach, you know, I know you're still enjoying the championship, but I think I'm probably right in thinking that you're thinking about the next season already. Mm-hmm. What is your biggest point of emphasis this summer for your squad to work on? If you could just improve on one thing, what would that thing be?
Half court offensive efficiency.
Mm.
And just a better and just kind of getting to the top of flowing together and decision making. You know, when you get into the lane, what do you, you know, how do you read the next level of defense? You know, Babo took like eight charges on us, you know. That's not something that we can have happen. You know, we have to make better decisions. Even if we beat our guy off the dribble, we need to make better decisions, you know, once you're getting towards the rim. And whether, you know, so the contested shot isn't as good as a stride step and a kick out. Or isn't as good as a dump off. So it's all about, because I know I can dial up our defense when we need to.
Sure.
I'm confident with that, but it's just building the whole off season is building skill and players to better read and react and to be more efficient in the half court.
And I feel like such a big part of that, you know, you can have great sets, but your sets are going to get blown up. Mm-hmm. So you have to know when to – kids have to get a feel for when to play out of it, when to stay with it, you know. And I think that's everything you're talking about, which is it just takes time, you know, and that's a great thing to work on for the summer.
Yeah, that's the summer really, yeah.
Hmm. Okay, so who are you expecting to have a huge season next season for you? This is the last thing I got for you, man. But who are you
for
expecting
us?
To have a – Yeah, huge season for you next season.
Our six returners.
That's
Justice
crazy,
Turner's,
dude.
Justice Turner, you know, we will return 55 points a game next year. So Justice Turner as a senior, Jackson Dickinson, who, like I said, he only averaged 5 points a game, but he was averaging 10 and 4 the last 15 games or last 20 games. Ben Head is a great ball player, had a really nice championship game. He's only going to be a junior. He's got an unreal floater game, you know, mid-range game, shoots it. And he played with a broken wrist most of the year, so he didn't shoot it well this year. His right hand shooting was broken, and he shot left-handed for half the year.
Wait, what? You got to talk about that a little bit. You shot left-handed?
He did. So Ben Head, and so let me, I'll hit this in case it's important for you or if it works, but the way we won this year is we offensive rebounded well enough until we could actually make some shots. So I don't know if you know about this, but we shot 23% from 3-point range through the first 20 games.
Wow.
And the only way we won games was offensive rebounding.
Wow.
And we were out rebounding teams. We out rebounded North Valley the first game by 40-27.
Wow.
Something like that. It was close to that, 39-27. But that's the only way we won early, because we didn't shoot it well. Now, why didn't we shoot it well? Our two best 3-point shooters were David L as a senior and Ben Head as a sophomore. They were the two best shooters we had coming into the season. David just had a really rough start to the season offensively, not defensively, and shot like, you know, 15% from three, and then the last five games shot 40. So we shot 23% as a team the first 20 games, and we shot 40% as a team the last 12 games.
Wow.
To raise it up to 27. And you could tell teams like Desert and North Valley and Babo, they packed it in on us because they didn't expect us to be able to make shots. And right. we did it. We made shots. We were 10 for 19 in the championship game from three. That's what won the game.
It's impressive, man.
It was impressive, and we were a 27% shooting. But Ben Head's story was he broke his wrist just before the season started, his dominant hand shooting, and the kid's such a gym rat that he went and just worked and worked and worked on his left-handed shooting, and he shot left-handed for half the season. And the reason he played was because he's just a winner. I mean, every drill and practice, his team wins. But, you know, he shot maybe 20% from three, so he wasn't quite able to do it in left-handed, you know. So it wasn't until the end of the year.
I'm sitting here laughing. If I tried to shoot left-handed for the beginning part of any season, if I was 20%, I think I'd be like 0%. Dude. I don't think I'd make a shot.
I agree. Same here. Yeah.
That is impressive, man. I'm so excited for your group returning and coming back. And, you know, obviously, I know you're not going to say this, but I'll say it for you. I mean, you guys are the favorite to win it again next year. And I don't have the realignment. I know you're covering that. What is Nick Saban? He calls that rat poison, you know.
Right.
But what is it? I haven't looked at the realignment, and it's not in front of me. You guys are staying in the 1A. This upcoming year, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you would be my favorite to repeat in the 1A. I think that's a given. And anybody who doesn't think that, you know, no disrespect to you, Coach, but anybody who doesn't think that, I think is crazy. Coach, is there anything else you want to say about your squad, about your team, about this season before we get out of here? This is your chance to tell the Arizona small ball world.
I have to say this for my kids. So did you happen to see the North Valley Post before our first game of the Rocky versus the Russian?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I did. That was sent to me, dude.
Okay. So for some reason they think they're the good guys, but that's all right. I don't mind. It's just competition. But our boys asked me if when we beat them, we could play the theme song from Rocky right at the end of the game.
Did you actually do that?
No, because and my athlete and it's because what I told you earlier, I'm a little superstitious and I'm a really poor loser. Mm-hmm. So I knew we'd have to play him again, and I didn't want any ammunition to go their way.
You don't want to make them like 10 points better, you know?
Right, exactly. So my AD had it queued up on her phone to play, and I told her before the game, I said, I'll either give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. And maybe if we would have popped him by 20 or something, maybe I would have played it, but it was a you know, 2-point game, one at the, you know, last possession. So I'm like, no, don't, we're not playing this. So, but I'll tell you, my kids did want to play the Rocky theme song. So,
oh man, hey, best AD in the state for just That's being right. there ready to click it, man. That's freaking awesome, dude. I love that, man.
And I figured it would have been all right. You know, colleges do these things all the time with trolling other teams. So it's not mean spirited at all. I know theirs wasn't. I know ours. It's just competition. But I still, you know, for me, I just didn't want anything. You know, I knew it was going to be a tough road anyway. I didn't want anything else to make it harder.
Hey, your superstition. What if you played that song and then you end up losing the championship?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy, dude. It's all coming full circle. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, Coach, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast with me. It's been super fun chopping it up with you. And for all of you guys that are listening, thank you so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. It's been so fun to just get some behind-the-scenes stuff of the Gregory School and their championship run, their third one in 7 years. Be on the lookout for more episodes, folks, and we will catch you next time.